Time for you to do some thinking and some talking. Okay. We've looked at them fans. Now I want you to think about your uniformed organisations. I want you to think, I'm going to ask you a question. It's like a finish the sentence question. Or finish the phrase. If I said to you, a cub is, or a rainbow is, or a brownie is, or a beaver is, or a scout is, I wonder what word would you stick in at the end to finish it off? Have a little think about it. Everybody else, maybe you could be thinking about, let's have a think. You could be having a think about a housewife is, a husband is, a house husband is, an office worker is, an ex-teacher is, whatever. Okay, rejoicing, that's that one. Okay, just to think about, what would you stick on the end to finish that phrase off? Okay, and we're going to garner a few ideas. Okay, I can see there's some thinking going off at the front. Okay. When you think you've got an idea that you can finish your sentence off with, stick your paw up in the air and we'll come and have a look. Aha! There's Josh. Okay, Josh. A beaver is?
Intelligent.
Intelligent! And it kind of proves it, doesn't it? Yeah? Okay, anybody over this side? It's not a competition, but can you be intelligent? Anybody? Here we go. A rainbow is?
Great.
A rainbow is great. Great. Ooh, back over this side, what do you think? Yeah, we've got. A cub is?
A cub.
Self-contained and self-explanatory. He is a cub. A gentleman is a gentleman. A cub is a cub. Yeah? What about this side? Anybody? Yeah? A rainbow is? Colourful. Yeah, colourful. Right. What about back there? What about back there? You'll have to do the entire sentence. Yeah.
An ex-teacher is at peace with the world.
At peace with the world, too right. Put it there, brother. A brownie is?
Chocolatey.
Yeah? Yeah, and if I remember George's time from being in brownies, usually, yeah, they were quite chocolatey by the time they came home. Anybody else? Anybody else back here, maybe? Wants to complete the sentence for yourselves? Yeah, Linda?
An ex-nurse is rested.
Was that rested or arrested? Rested, yeah. An ex-nurse is rested, yeah. So so lots of different things that we are, and we can think of words that kind of describe us. Now then, I wonder. What if the phrase was, a Christian is? Okay, a Christian is. I wonder what the word would be on the end. Or if we maybe just maybe slightly change the phrase a bit. You'll recognise a Christian because. I wonder what would be the answer. You'll recognise a Christian because. Right, we're going to garner a few answers.
Because
we're telling our friends about God. Could be.
You can recognise a Christian because they pray.
Have I turned it off again, Nigel? Oh, there we go, sorry. How are we going to recognise a Christian?
Because
someone who follows Jesus. Here we go, I'll work my way down this side.
This is how you'll know them, that they love one another.
They love one another. You've been reading the crib sheet. Yeah, that's right. Good. Exactly what we're going to have here. That's right. In fact, our first reading this morning gives us our answer. Just to affirm what you've already said. Steve, if you can have that reading. This is what Jesus said on the matter. A new command I give you. Speaking to the disciples at this point. He's saying, look, if you're following me, this is my command to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So that's what they've got to do and the quality that they've got to do it with. Okay? As I have loved you, so love one another. By this will all men and women know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So in other words, what Jesus said there were, as you're getting on with following me, get on with loving each other, and other people that are around you will see what's happening. Will see the difference that following me makes in the way that you behave to each other. Okay. Can we get that? Can we put it in our heads and lock it away and seal it there, that Jesus has not given us a recommendation, he's given us a command, that that's what we're supposed to be like. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's how people are going to recognise God in us. You see, what Jesus is asking us to do is to be like him. That's what he says, isn't it? Just there. To be like him. To love with his love. And so, not surprisingly then, the King of Love, Jesus, wants us to behave like him. Wants us to exhibit his love. Wants us to show his love. Wants us to kind of drip his love around as we're moving about. Now then. Bertie's not here this morning, so I can say whatever I want. And she's not back until tonight because she's working, so I've got a chance to run miles. No. I would profess to love Bert, okay? Good, yeah. I think that is a good thing. Generally speaking, yeah, it's a good thing to love your wife. Okay. But, how does she know? You see, I can say it. How does she know? What does loving Bert look like? I need your help. Quick, let's get some ideas. What does loving somebody look like? It doesn't have to be Bert, by the way.
Telling someone.
Telling them. Telling them. Yeah. Yeah. The words of that great 20th century philosopher, Billy Joel. Tell her about it. They don't know. You know it, Gary. That's why I said it to you. Yeah. What does loving somebody look like? Any other ideas? I'm a bit kind of concerned that it's only youngsters that know what loving people looks like. Yeah. What do you think?
Kissing.
Occasionally we have a kiss. Occasionally, that's all. Yeah. Josie.
Flowers.
You're right, but you're wrong. In our house, flowers are a sign of a guilty conscience. Yeah? I've never bought Bert flowers. Yeah? I said I've never had a guilty conscience. So that means I'm just really twisted, I suppose. Or delusional. Yeah, yeah. But some people buy flowers as a demonstration of love. What else does love... Come on, experts. What does loving somebody look like? I thought you put your hand up then, Mike. Oh, go on.
Being loyal for 33 years.
Yeah, being loyal. Yeah, if you really love somebody, then you don't play away at another. Yeah, if you really love somebody, you're loyal to them. You stick by them. Yeah? Okay, what else does loving somebody look like? I'll do Linda and then Leanne, see if they've been comparing notes.
To be close to them even when they're going through bad as well as good.
Yeah, not just being a fair weather companion, sticking through thick and thin, good and bad. Yeah.
I was going to say, doing the washing up.
Yeah, doing the washing up, doing them things that, you know, really somebody else should do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Graham.
Apart from breakfast in bed every morning, it's being prepared to do anything for them.
Being prepared to do anything for them, yeah. Including breakfast in bed, yeah.
Listening to them.
Listening to them.
Without interrupting.
Without interrupting. Yeah, she did the timing thing then. Did you see that? Secret of comedy. Yeah, thank you.
And putting their needs before your own.
Putting your needs before your own. Right, lovely. Brilliant. Right, excellent. Great. So you're all experts at it. Yeah? There's a great deal of wisdom in the room about what it means to love people and how you do that. Steve, if we can have our next thing up. Just to prove that I'm not a total philistine, I did have a think about that. Let's see if... Yeah. Watching TV that you find boring. Yeah. You think? Yeah. Well, we're all a work in progress, aren't we? You know. Watching TV that you find boring. You know. Breakfast in bed, or not. You know, sometimes, you know, it's your birthday, it's 5 o'clock, here's your breakfast. Thanks. Yes, I love you too. Flowers, apparently. Chocolates. Yeah? Tidying up after them. This is not particularly down to us and Bert. Me and Bert, but could be. Putting up with them on the worst day. Yeah? And giving up what you want. Yeah. Okay, good. Now then. Sorry, Steve, to do this to you, but can we nip out of that and go to our reading? Because it's quite easy for us as Christians to say, well, you know, how do we show that everybody that we're Christians, what do we do? We say, oh, we do what Jesus said. We love one another. But what does that actually look like in the raw? What does that actually look like in everyday life? What does that look like in everyday church? Well, this last week, as I was preparing for parade, I was having a quiet time one morning, and I felt led to study Colossians, first book of Colossians. And as I'm reading through it, I'm thinking, yeah, that's great, but it's not for parade. And that's great, and that's not for parade, and that's great. And I came to this nugget near the end of it. And just to put it in context, the bit that comes just before this is actually speaking about attitude towards leaders. Now, you're supposed to respect them and honour them and help them to lead. And then this bit is a bit broader. So this is, I guess, when Paul has sat down and he's thought about what does it mean to love one another like Jesus loved us. What does that look like in practice? He said this. And I urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. That's interesting. That last phrase really puts this alongside what Jesus said. Okay? That is actually this bit that is put there, verses 14 and the beginning of 15, is for Christians towards Christians. Otherwise, he wouldn't put and be kind to everyone else. Yeah? Us as part of a bigger thing. Right. Can we go back to our PowerPoint then, please, Steve? And we'll see what we've got. Okay. So, here we go. What does loving one another look like? Top five. At five, warn the idle. Do you know anybody who's idle? You can think beyond your own household now, okay? Do you know anybody who's idle? The kind of person that would have a can of pop, put a can down on the side, leave it there. Go and sit down and drink a can of pop out of the glass that they just put it in and put the glass down. And then wander off somewhere else and do something else and leave behind them a trail of, couldn't be bothered. Couldn't be bothered to put it away. That's not the only reason people do that, but quite often. Or maybe it's, somebody that, there's something that needs doing and it's in front of them. And they just sit and watch. And they wait for somebody else to do it. Might be that washing up that Leanne's talking about. Yeah? You can't see the sink. You can't see the cooker for the washing up that's there. But you wait for somebody else to do it. Do you know somebody like that? There's a few of you nodding. Yeah. But as well as sometimes we can be a bit idle in terms of our relationships with each other, can't we? We don't bother doing that little bit extra to help. Maybe don't bother giving that person that phone call or that text or that message. Or maybe we don't bother in terms of our relationship with Jesus, we don't bother getting our Bible out. Because we'll cook something, tell we? We'd rather watch that. And actually, if we love people, we need to make them aware. We need to make each other aware. Actually, don't be idle. Pull your finger out. Help yourself. As well as helping other people. So warn the idle. That's what loving each other looks like. When we see one of us that's not pulling our weight, to actually say, hey, come on. This matters. This matters. At four, encourage the timid. Okay? Encourage the timid. Do you know anybody who's timid? Somebody who wouldn't say boo to a goose? Who's the kind of person that you never see them at parties? They're there, but you never see them. Because they find all the nooks and the crannies to hide in. Might be that when things, the timid people are the people that kind of, when somebody says, let's whatever, and they take a step back because they're afraid to do. They're afraid to stand out. They'd rather just disappear. I suppose we could put shy there instead of timid, although it's not the same thing. That word that Paul uses, encourage, scripturally speaking, it's got two bits to it. Let's talk about sheep. I've not done it yet. When you're messing about with sheep and you're trying to get them from one place to another, there's two ways of doing it. You're going to encourage them. And part of that is you can get some food in a bucket and you can, come on. You always have to speak to them as well. Come on. It's going to be all right. Yep. Come on. It's the carrot approach, if you've ever seen that picture of the donkey The carrot that dangles in front of the donkey. Come on, you can get it, you can do it. Yeah? And quite often when we think of encouraging, that's the only encouraging we think about. But actually, scripturally speaking, there's a part of encouraging which is when you stand behind the sheep and you go, come on, get a move on, we've got to get there and you need to be shown. Okay? And actually, it's the stick part of the carrot and the stick. And both of them are part of encouraging. You know, sometimes when we're dealing with people that we know around us that are timid, we need to encourage them. You can do it. Your story is important. You are special. You are valued. You know you're great. You think about some of the things you do as cubs and as beavers. You know, sometimes you think, oh, better not. I mean, some of you beavers, I'm coming in this next week. We're going to make some fires. Oh, I said that out loud, haven't I? We're going to do some cooking, do some fires. And some of you will be thinking, great, that's wonderful. And some of you are thinking, oh, that's a bit scary. Fire's dangerous. It is, you're right. But I'm going to encourage you that you're all going to take part and it's all going to be good. Okay? And some of you might say, well, I'm going to sit in the shed and have nothing to do with it. But then you're going to get encouraged the other way. Say, come on, you're coming and you're doing it. Okay? And when we're dealing with people that are within churches, with Christians, sometimes they need encouraging. Yeah, you can stand up here and sing. You can welcome people on the door. You can be forgiven. You can know this, you can know that. You can be part of this, you can be part of that. And sometimes we need to encourage them with the stick as well. And I don't mean that physically. But sometimes when you say, you're doing it. You're coming and standing next to me and we're doing it. We are going to lead worship together. We are going to do this. We are going to do that. Okay, encouraging the timid. What else we got? At 3. Help the weak. Help the weak. You see, if we claim to be loving Jesus like Jesus loved us, there's loads of stories, aren't there, in the New Testament when there was somebody who needed something, somebody who needed a healing or somebody who needed some help, and Jesus did it. Jesus was always ready to help the weak. And we need to be like that. You know, I don't know. You might be that you're sat there and you know there's somebody who just needs some help. It might be that you know a family that needs some help looking after the children. It might be that you know somebody who's elderly that just needs some help, that can't do the things they used to be able to do. It might be that that it's somebody who struggles to do a thing. It might be struggles with a knot. They need some help to be shown how to do it. You know, it's okay to be weak. Because it allows somebody else to use their strength. It's okay to be weak because it allows somebody else to use their strength. 2, be patient with everyone. Who finds it easy to be patient in this weather? No. Yeah. And yet, here's Paul telling us, this is what, if we claim to love each other, we've got to be patient with each other. And being patient means that, you know, when you make that same mistake again, and again, and again, you receive the same grace, the same love, the same acceptance, again, and again, and again. A couple of weeks back, when we were doing Wildens, we had a little Wildens training course on our field for some of the family. Bert were helping out, and Owen were helping out, and Georgie were helping out. And we were showing them Clovis. And let's just say, out of the 3 students, 2 of them got it like that, and 1 of them didn't. So we showed them again. And they still didn't get it. Showed them again. And they still didn't get it. Now, what would have been the right reaction to that? show them again. That's right. And I'm pleased to say that's exactly what we did. Look, it's like this! Dear. And eventually she got it. It was great. Wonderful. Yeah. Patient with everyone. Because you know, the thing is, when I look at you, like, from here, you're like, and I mean this in the most respectful way, a scattered bag of ballast. Yeah? If you go to Wickes and you ask for a bag of ballast, what you get is a big bag, and it's full of bits of stone. And if I'd have had my wits about me, I would have brought one in today and said, right, what I want you to do is to find two that are the same. Same shape, same colour, same size. And you know, I reckon you could get a ton bag of ballast and you could sort it out and you'd be struggling to find two stones that were the same. And as I look at you from here, that's what you're like. You're like a scattered bag of ballast. I'm part of that as well. We're all different. We've all got different weaknesses. We've all got different strengths. We've all got different preferences. We've all got different viewpoints and different standpoints. We've all got things that we think are really important that other people don't think are important, you know, like flowers. At home, flowers, you know, whatever. And yet, together, we make the whole. But part of being together is that we don't really tessellate. Yeah, that's, I've not forgotten that one. Anybody know what tessellate means? Sort of. Squares tessellates, circles don't. Yeah, shapes that fit together and there's no gaps in between them tessellate. So if you're square this morning, you tessellate. But if you're a circle, you don't. There's spaces around the edge of you. And when you're next to somebody else, there's spaces. You know, the great thing about a bag of ballast is it's got sand in as well that fills the spaces. You look like a bag of distributed ballast. But Jesus is the sand that fills the spaces. His love is the sand that fills the spaces between us. So what's number one? Just try and be kind. Can you think of, I know you're not thinking of school at all at the moment because you can, the end's in sight, you're nearly there, aren't you? How many days you got left? How many days left at school? 2 weeks. That's a lifetime, isn't it? That's still actually. Yeah? But each day makes it one less. And I'm guessing that if your teachers are anything like I used to be, they'll get to the point where they'll say, look, just try and be kind. If you can't like them, just try and be kind to them. You know, if you can't manage to play together, just try and be kind. And you know, number one for us as Christians, as church, is look, just try and be kind to each other. Just try and be kind. We claim to love one another. Let's try and be kind to each other. There's five things. Now, I'm going to ask you this. If you had to choose one of them things, I don't want you to tell them what it is. But if you had to choose one of them things and say, okay then, during this next week, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and excel, be really good at being kind, being patient, helping people that have got a need, that are weaker in some way, encouraging somebody who's timid, warning somebody who's idle. I wonder, which one of them things would you choose? The truth of the matter is, as people who claim to love God and be loved by God, we should be doing them all. As humans, let's try and get one done right. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Jesus showed what love is when he gave up everything for us. Thank you that Jesus is the King of love, the best at it. Thank you for his command that we should love one another in the same way that he loves us. And Father, we say, well, we're sorry that so often we don't manage to do that very well. Father God, would you please help us in every way we can to demonstrate your love for each other. And if all we can manage is to be kind, then Lord, help us to be kind to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.